The Vision of Jonas Håkansson, 1801. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Acts 2:17. This revelation was printed the first time in Swedish, and then the second time in Norwegian, and I, the undersigned, have translated this same revelation to Finnish according to the printed one, which was printed in the town of Tromsø, in the year 1847. L. Estadius. Dear reader, read these words, so you will see what a terrible torment follows sin, so that through this would come the urge to seek redemption in Jesus' blood, that you would avoid the place of perdition, and be brought by the angels into the joy of heaven. A man by name Jonas Håkansson, who was a peasant of the Hogsbo congregation, in the province of the governor of Småland in Sweden, and lived in the village of Mjaseby, relates the following which happened in the year 1801. At the end of this mentioned year I arose one Wednesday morning feeling well, but I felt some strange movement within me. I began to tremble and became strengthless so that I could not control myself anymore. My wife and daughter lifted me into my bed. This trembling lasted until Friday evening. At 11 o'clock I got to sleep. When the family saw me sleep in rest and peace, they also went to sleep because they were tired of staying up and of sorrow over the severe pain in which they saw me. Now when my body was at rest, my spirit was put near the portal of heaven. There I saw one angel beside me, and he said to me, "Do not fear." And I saw an angel traveling on a narrow road, and he took me with him. Then we came to another portal of heaven which he opened to me, and showed me all the glory of those who were there. I saw the elect souls sitting on thrones of glory, honoring God. At times they rose up and at times they fell down to the ground, and put their crowns before the throne. And again they rose up and praised and honored God, for all. They sat one after another, each according to the number of their generation. There farther among the saints I saw innumerable streets, and very honorable boundaries. I also saw honest teachers, some of which I knew in my life. They were all like angels. Nevertheless there was a great distinction of honor between them. I also saw angels carrying believers' souls in their hands. And those angels and the elect souls which were in heaven came with songs of joy to meet the incoming souls, and said, "Welcome to the joy of heaven." The angels sat on the thrones of glory, but the evil spirits did not dare to come near the portal. They went around like roaring lions, seeking men's souls, but did not dare to come in through the portal of heaven, but turned away from there. After that I saw their souls, who were under the rule of the evil spirit. Those souls were caught in the snare of the evil spirit, and with those snares they were drawn into perdition. When the angel of light who had followed these people in their life saw that he could no longer protect the souls, he left the soul, went himself to heaven, and overturned the throne of that soul. And the angel showed me another place where the thrones were placed, and the thrones were very beautiful and shining, and on each throne was the picture of a person, and above the picture was the bow of heaven. The angel said the picture was the likeness of the person for which the throne was put there. And the angel said to me, "As long as the person's covenant of baptism is not broken, his throne is bright and beautiful, but as soon as the person rejects God through sin, his throne begins to incline toward the abyss. And when the person falls into willful sins, the lower part of the throne becomes black like soot, and as a person becomes bold to commit sin, his throne also becomes terrible." And the angel said to me, "As long as there is a small white spot visible on the upper part of the throne, the door of grace is still open, but if the whole throne has become black and ugly, it signifies that the person has hardened, and the grace of God is taken away. But if the sinner with the full intention turns himself to God, while the door of grace is still open, and there yet is a small white spot on his throne, then the throne becomes wholly cleansed." The angel showed me the abyss, the large lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone from eternity to eternity. There he showed me a very large kettle, and on the kettle there was a cover which was closed. But from the kettle arose smoke from the torment of those who were there, and a terrible crackling and sparks. And the angel said to me, "One spark from that kettle would burn whole the earth, if it could come up." And I saw one evil spirit carrying one soul, with his left claw, and there stood another evil spirit near him with a sword, and he turned the lock, and opened the cover of the kettle. And I saw people raising their hands and fingers, from the kettle, they took hold of the edge, and tried to climb out, but the devil threw that soul also into the kettle, whom he had brought, and the angel touched the side of the kettle with the sword, and the cover was again closed. This is a terrible place of torment. Then I saw four pairs of horses pulling a carriage in which a great lord was sitting. That lord drove with a terrible speed toward the portal of heaven, and cried with a loud voice, Petus. But when the judgment had already taken place, he had to go into the lake of fire, his soul and body together with his horses and carriage. And an evil spirit caught him with his left claw, and said, You have commanded many thousands of evil spirits to rule you, but now I alone can rule you. And that lord cried with a difficult cry of distress, Do not torment me so terribly. To that the evil spirit answered, All the evil spirits are not here, yet whom you have called for help? The evil spirit took the lord in his claws, lifted him up and tore his tongue from his mouth, also his heart, liver, and lungs, and all his inner organs. Then innumerable evil spirits came there who put his inner organs to fry upon the fire, not until then the inner organs were put in their place in the body. And I still hear in every place where I go how pitifully and terribly that lord laments, and in that pain and flame of fire he has to stay. Then I saw souls falling like hailstones into that lake which burns with fire and brimstone. I saw the lost ones whose teeth had fallen from their mouths, and again others bit their teeth, so that a thundering and roaring sound could be heard far away, and it was said that the souls of the lost women were in great tribulation, for the reason that the woman first through the deceit of the serpent allowed herself to be deceived to trespass against God's commandment. I also saw a difference between the torments. Each one had to suffer some special pain according to the kind of sin he had committed in the world. Accordingly, the torment of sin was now shown before the prince of the abyss. Beelzebub was chained in the middle of the abyss, his hair was like serpents in many colors, and these he dropped from his head when the torments began. I saw drunkards from all classes fall into hell, and those black terrible serpents which had fallen from Beelzebub's head jeered and opened their mouths to the drunkard who had a goblet full with flame of brimstone, and other devils ladled the flowing fire into the goblet and always added more. And the drunkards had to drink it to the bottom so that the flame splashed like a burning rapids from the nose. I saw many kinds of whores who had defiled themselves with adultery, both in secret and openly. These whores were tormented with many different kinds of media of adultery, which burned with fire and brimstone, and the devils began to dance with the whores in that burning flame. These whores had lived in adultery and voluptuousness. They were from all classes of people, who had defiled themselves with fornication in the world. The thieves and the friends of thieves, who had concealed the stolen goods, also came into the same place. The torments of the thieves were terrible in the flames of fire. Into that place came also those who had violated the Sabbath, who had picked berries on Sunday, chopped wood, hauled loads, harvested and made wrong trips. The torment of all of them was according to the kind of sin they had done. Some were sentenced to go inside mountains and sit in blood up to their knees, and the flames of fire were all around them. They who had gone fishing on Sunday, their souls the devil began to fish from the lake of fire. All the hypocrites who without fervency, without true conversion, without faith, and without sanctification had read and sang God's holy word, and who thus had died in their sins, were cursed in hell. They had to read and sing in that lake of fire. The books which they read were also burning, but nevertheless did not burn to ashes. All slanderers and those who whispered in the ear, who spread gossip, and sing drunkards' songs, or speak other filthiness, they had to bite their tongues, because of pain. The devil himself came and split their tongue, and sucked blood from their hearts. Witches and enchanters also came there, and they had to suffer the torment according to the kind of sin which they had committed. And those who had defiled themselves with animals came, and fooled around with the devil, and the devil set himself as the animal for them. Those who had by crookedness taken goods and property of others into their own possession, flew on their backs in the lake of fire, and threw fire and flames against their breasts with their hands. So also those who had partaken of the Lord's Holy Supper unworthily, they cried cursing because of the pain. So did many flocks who had wasted the rite of salvation. And those who had changed the boundaries, carried burning stones in their arms, and cursed themselves and hold the hell answered Amen. I also saw big hills and sharp crags upon which they had to sit and stretch themselves. And they who had cursed and spoken vain prattle on the way to church, there the torment of sin chilled them so their teeth chattered, then they were again thrown into the lake of fire to burn, there is weeping and gnashing of teeth for all. The false surveyors and false distributors of inheritance also came there, and pulled burning iron chains, after them and suffered terrible pain and torment. And those who had made a false measure, they had to carry burning scales in their hands, and a burning cubit measure which burnt their hands. All the false handicraftsmen, like tailors and shoemakers, who especially are Sabbath breakers, had also to suffer their torment. A great part of those who were in perdition had lived in fornication and voluptuousness, who had to suffer the torment in the hell. Murderers and those who had killed their children, and enticed them into adultery, were terribly pained in hell, so that all the hell shook. A certain part, and they were a large group, who had spent their time dancing, and playing games, playing cards, and other foolishness, these the devil chased to climb up on burning iron cages. After that I saw heathens on the northern part of the lake of fire. They had less torment than the name Christians, but no matter what sin they had committed in the world, according to that kind of sin they had to suffer torment, before the prince of the abyss. The heathens were like pieces of wood in the lake of fire, sometimes at the bottom, and sometimes on the top. While the souls of the heathens floated up and down, the prince of the abyss began to file the iron chains, with which he was bound. The snakes hang down from his head as long as he was filing, but when he had almost filed a chain through, they fastened back on. Then it was shown to me the easier and lighter torments which they suffered who had not merited the greatest punishment. The flame of fire rose around them, then they were pinched and squeezed with burning pliers. Their bodies were torn in two pieces, and then put together with bitter ointment. I saw the condemned meet the elect ones. Of them one mate was in heaven, and one in perdition. The one who was elect said to the other who was in the perdition, if you two would have listened to God's exhortations, if you had made true conversion, as we other God's children instructed you, then you would be where I am, namely in joy. Now you are in a poor condition, I do not long for you anymore. And so he had to go to perdition. So also the parents and the children, some were in heaven, and some in perdition. The elect one said that God has judged right because hardened sinners must suffer the punishment. There was a black and thick fog over the perdition, and there was no other light, and the flame of the fire. Children cursed their parents who had instructed them so wrongly. The parents cursed their children, because of disobedience and hardness of heart, and in all they cursed themselves and their Creator. But for that cursing their torment only became the greater, and their cry, lamenting, and cursing were terrible. When all this was shown to me, I prayed to the angel, who had revealed all to me which is now said. The angel had on mask clothes, and the mark of the cross on the breast, and his clothes were shining, and very beautiful. I prayed to the angel that I could remain with him, but he answered, "Your time has not yet come." I asked yet the angel, "How long a time do I still have to be in the world?" But the angel answered, "The time is not yet. No one knows it except God the Father." And he said to me, "Make known now what you have seen and heard to the ungodly for warning, and to the sorrowful for refreshment. Don't drive anyone away from you with hardness, don't speak evil of anyone. Do right and flee away from all sins, keep God's commandments in love, and in faith upon Jesus Christ, namely with living and fruitful faith. Beg in a friendly way for your payments of debts, but take no one to the law because of it. If you do see this, you shall meet me here when your day is end. Then I will receive you, and take you into eternal joy." When he had said this, I awoke in my bed, and during that time 2 hours had gone by. He who has translated this revelation into Finnish considers everything to be true that Jonas Håkansson has seen in the Spirit, for there is nothing in this revelation that would contradict with the Holy Scriptures. But the sorrowless people don't nevertheless believe that these terrible troubles would be prepared for them. Some assume that hell doesn't exist, though a sorrowless sinner bears the torment of the hell in his bosom. But he doesn't feel it before the conscience will awaken. When the conscience begins to burn, then he feels that the hell isn't far off. It isn't at all far, it is in the own heart of a man, though a sorrowless one doesn't feel it. The Savior says that the kingdom of heaven has to be found inside the man, or in the own heart of man. But if the kingdom of heaven is there, indeed the hell also is found in man. It depends only on in which condition one is. If one is in the condition of sorrowlessness, certainly he will fall into the hell, if there won't become any change. If a man is awakened, then he feels himself that the hell is burning in his own bosom, but he who has come into the condition of grace feels that he has become drawn up from the hell. But the slaves of the world don't want to believe that they are the embers of the hell. For someone relies on that he has lived virtuously. Someone relies on that his sins already long ago have become forgiven, though a true penitence and repentance never has taken place. There are plenty of them who deceive themselves miserably with a dead faith. They are grace thieves who think thus: I believe that God is gracious. How do you know that God is gracious? You have heard about the grace of God, that God is gracious to the penitent ones. But when have you been in true penitence? When have you been in distress? I ask the virtuous ones and the grace thieves, when have you made a true penitence and repentance? Surely you believe it is a token of true penitence, as the tears of the dragon flow out from your eyes as whiskey warms the heart of the old Adam, or as a thief or a harlot weeps after his honor that he is reproached without fault. But such tears are nothing else than the tears of a dragon which fall from the eyes of a natural man, like hails on hard ground. Drinkers often become godly when drunken, they weep with love. But what do such tears effect? A drinker will indeed fall into the hell in spite of them. A harlot also weeps after her honor when she is reproached without fault. And I have also seen a chief thief weep miserably after his honor and complain that he is reproached without fault. But such tears are the tears of a dragon that flow out from eyes of a drinker and a harlot when such virtuous and honorable persons weep after their honor. The murderer who shot the king of Sweden, Gustav III, also wept bitterly as he was chastised with whips. And when one lord asked, "Why are you weeping?" this murderer of the king answered, "I weep because the king didn't immediately die." Behold, such are the tears of the slave of the wicked one. They weep in the church and laugh behind the church. They sing psalms in the church and howl behind the church. They bless in the church and curse behind the church. They drink in the church from the cup of the Lord, and behind the church they drink from the cup of the devil. And such ones believe now that they are ready to come into the kingdom of heaven without penitence, without repentance, and without faith. Why did Jonas Håkansson see some mouth Christians reading book in the hell? What does it affect that people read a book in the hell? Surely it affects so much that they come up from the hell, as they with a similar heart as here read the burning books that will burn their fingers. There are many men who are literary and learned in the scriptures, though their life is a wicked life. Many a person reads the scriptures and commits adultery. Many a person reads scriptures and steals. A drinker reads the scriptures, and the devil himself reads the scriptures, and yet he can't come out from the hell. Luther says that the devil truly can preach the gospel better than a priest. And truly the devil would get plenty of listeners if he would begin to preach the gospel so sweetly that all the virtuous harlots and the honest thieves would come into the kingdom of heaven without sorrow, without grief, without penitence, and without faith. Thus they now live in the world as in the kingdom of darkness. The people curse and fight, commit adultery and steal. To such ones the gospel is now preached: dear friends of Jesus, don't become frightened. Drink and curse well, so you will become saved. Keep liquor business, so you will get a great reward in the kingdom of heaven. Wouldn't it be better if this kind of gospel would be preached to such ones, dear friends of the devil? Do not care, truly you will become saved in the hell, if you only live as you have lived thus far. Drink and curse well, so you will become saved in the hell. Such a gospel would now be suitable to be preached to the slaves of the world in order that they better would believe that they will become saved in the hell. We have now heard messages from the Hell through Jonas Håkansson. They are quite fresh messages. Jonas Håkansson saw men squirm in the Hell in the year 1801. Now in this year 1851, 50 years have passed since it. And during that time many have seen the same place of abomination, and even the glory of the heaven. But the sorrowless don't yet believe that there will be found such an ugly place as the Hell is. They don't believe before the flame of the Hell will hit against the jaw. Some say thus it isn't true that Jonas Håkansson has seen the Hell. He has himself told that he lay in his room and slept. He has indeed dreamt. But what did John see in the revelation? Was it also a dream, or what? He who wants to claim the revelation to be lie, he has to make all the scriptures into lie. Some says thus it isn't true that Jonas has seen the Hell. Daily with purpose and order, that people rather would begin to fear. But the sorrowless don't yet fear. They only laugh when they hear messages from the Hell. Some again think that such a book could be good for thieves and murderers, but such a book isn't suitable for those who have lived virtuously. Who have then lived virtuously? Have the virtuous harlots and the honest thieves lived virtuously? Some say thus God hasn't created people for that reason, that he would cast them into the Hell. Surely not. But yet they fall there, like hails. And can you guess why they fall there? Yes. Some become hardened in the sick of Christianity, like the Jews, and God isn't able to draw any more up them, whom the wicked one has pressed into the abyss. The wicked one has turned the eyes of some upside down so that they consider the Christianity as false. And the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, that they believe lies. Some think that this revelation only belongs to those coarse and awful sinners who don't know anything about God. But the sorrowless believe that they are virtuous ones, though they drink, curse, and fight, and are eager after the world, when they with false liquor business suck the sweat and trouble of the poor. Won't the tears of whiskey at last begin to burn their conscience eternally? So also the tears of the poor ones, and the orphan children which in the sick of the greed of the whiskey merchant have flown upon the earth. Then you are virtuous and pious when you cloth off the coat from a poor drunkard because of one ladle of whiskey. And then you are really virtuous when you make Sunday a drinking day, and fighting day, and jesting day. Don't care, don't, you virtuous ones. The death will surely tear your virtue with iron clutches, like a bear tears the hair with skin from the skull of man. Some say we are great sinners, but God is gracious. We believe that the Savior has paid our debt of sin. Even David's sins were forgiven though he was a murderer and adulterer, so also the sins of the robber on the cross, and of Peter, who had denied the Savior. They received grace, why wouldn't even we, who have lived virtuously? The grace thieves say yet this book robs our faith and sinks us into doubt. This book is nothing but a product of wild spirits. Therefore indeed you have come to tell us such things, that we would become fools, and would begin to dream or hang ourselves with the rope of Judas. Who then will be responsible for our souls? May the devil be the advocate for them who hang themselves. Judas indeed thought that the priests will answer for his soul when the price of the innocent blood began to trouble his conscience. But the high priest said to him, "Look on yourself." So does even yet many a drunkard priest, when somebody like Judas comes to the priest to complain that whiskey money, and the false oath begins to burn his conscience, what is that to us? Look on yourselves. Judas doesn't receive any comfort from those priests, who are themselves enemies of Jesus' cross. They answer only as Cain, the murderer of his brother, when God asked, "Where is Abel your brother?" Then Cain answered, "Am I my brother's keeper?" If a priest doesn't take shameless harlots into the church, they begin to accuse the priest, and say, "May the priest answer for our souls, if we die not having partaken in the Holy Communion, and become taken into the church." But I believe that the same man, who answers for the soul of Judas Simon Iscariot, yet will answer for the souls of the impenitent and shameless ones. He will yet answer for the soul of the virtuous harlot. He will yet answer for the soul of the sober drunkard. And no doubt he will even answer for the soul of the honest thief and the merciful liquor dealer, if they only believe that the wicked one will answer for their souls. One wise of the world has said that God has to answer for the soul of man, if it becomes lost. But the other wise of the world say that man has to answer himself. And therefore everyone who has lived virtuously, says I shall answer myself if there becomes damage to the soul. I shall now make this question to all them who read this revelation, who has to answer at last when man commits evil? Our ancestors Adam and Eve pushed the fault upon one another. Adam pushed it upon Eve and Eve pushed it on the serpent. But the devil doesn't take any fault on himself, but he accuses the children of God night and day, and says to the heavenly parents, you have indeed beautiful children, whores and thieves, drunkards and murderers. Look, such are the Christians. Such are the children of God. You have indeed beautiful children. And the heavenly parent has to hear such reproaches night and day, you have indeed beautiful children. And this reproach of the enemy hurts so much in the heart of the parent that he has to suffer the torment of the hell because of his ungodly children. But the devil doesn't take any fault upon himself. Guess therefore who at last has to answer as man commits evil? Some say man has to answer himself. And some say God has to answer if the soul of man becomes lost. And some say if man has to answer himself, he has to answer eternally. Lars Levi Lee's tedious